Psalm 69 have again, just a simple truth, nothing new tonight, but something to just do our best to encourage you with tonight. And Psalm chapter number 69, look down if you would, and verse number 30. We'll start right there. Psalm 69 and verse 30. The Bible says in Psalm 69, 30, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hoofs. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. Look up at verse number 30. Read this together with me, if you would. Just verse number 30. Everyone, ready? Begin. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for this time that we can come together in your house to meet. And I pray that you just bless your word in Jesus' name. Amen. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him, the Bible says, with thanksgiving. You know, I believe that it is the mark of all true children of God that they long to magnify the God of their salvation. You know what I'm talking about? If you're saved in here today, how many of you are saved? Raise your hand, say amen, hallelujah, something, show me something. Good, good. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then it ought to be, it should be a mark that you long to magnify him, that you long to lift up his name, that you long to praise him. The Bible says in the book of Psalm chapter 40 and verse number 16, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Psalm 34:3, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. As I was a youth pastor, I'd always have the teens repeat this before we go on a road trip, before we go to camp. Say this together with me. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I said, say it again. Say it again. Now say it like you mean it. I have to get it thick in their head, because, you know, when you take teens out, you never know what's going to happen. And so the goal is to magnify the Lord in all situations. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Psalm 48:1, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. And so we can see, if you go all throughout Scripture, this was the heart cry of every Old Testament saint. As you read throughout the Old Testament, read throughout the Bible, you can see it's the heart cry of every Old Testament saint. And now it is the longing, or it ought to be the longing, of every true Christian. I love what 1 Corinthians 10:31, it tells us, whether therefore you eat or drink, or what does it say? Or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. I think that kind of sums up everything, don't you think? I think that wraps up everything right there. That is, do everything so that God would be magnified. And if you have met the living Son of God, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and if you've joined yourself in faith to him, then does not your heart say, as Paul's did in Philippians 1:20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. So you can go all throughout this precious word of God, and you can see people who long to magnify our God, who long to magnify the Lord of our creation. And so therefore I say it is the mark of all God's true children that they long to magnify the God of their salvation and his Son, Jesus Christ. And David said it well, I will magnify God with thanksgiving. Now, that word magnify, it can be used in two different ways. It can have two different definitions, or really realities to it. The first one, two different senses, I guess we can say. It can mean this: To make something appear greater than it is. When you hear the word magnify, you see this: to make something appear greater than it is, such as with a microscope, or a magnifying glass, or maybe you wear reading glasses and it makes something appear bigger than it is. You look into a microscope and it takes something small and you look into it and you can see everything all about it. That's one way or one sense that we can get from the word magnify. But it also can mean this: make something that may seem small or insignificant because of its distance appear to be as great as it really is. That's where we get the telescope from. So you have the microscope on one end, and then you have the telescope on another end. This is where our great telescopes, they help us begin to see the magnificent universe as far away as it is. It's not tiny up there, friend. The planets, they're not small. They look small to us, but they're not small. But when you look through a telescope, it magnifies that which is already great. It magnifies something which is already large. This is what the telescope does. So we have two kinds of magnifying: microscope magnifying or microscopic magnifying, and telescopic magnifying. The one makes a small thing look bigger than it is, and the other makes a big thing begin to look as big as it really is. And so when you come to this verse and you say, when David says, "and will magnify him with thanksgiving," I want you to notice right off the bat that he does not mean, "I'm going to make a small God look bigger. I'm going to make something that is just incomplete or something that really has no insignificance. I'm going to make that small God look bigger." That's not what he's talking about. Here's what he means: I will make a big God begin to look as big as he really is, begin to magnify who he is. I don't have to take something small down here and magnify it. No, because it's already big. It's already large in scope. It's already magnificent in its own way. And we are not called to be microscopes, as cheesy as this is, but you and I as Christians, guess what? We're called to be telescopes, to magnify God, not in such a way as Christians are not called to be, if we can put it this way, con men who magnify their product out of all proportion to reality when they know that their competitors is superior or that their competitor's product is better. Well, no, because there's nothing superior or better than my Jesus Christ. There's nothing greater or more magnificent than God Almighty. Amen? Amen? Okay, we're on the same page. Just want to make sure. God is already great. God is already big. There's nothing superior to God. And so the calling of those who love God is to make his greatness appear, or to make his greatness begin to look as great as it really is. And the whole duty of the Christian life can be summed up in this: to feel, to think, to act in a way that will make God look as big as he really is. To magnify him in such a way. We are to be a telescope for the world of the infinite starry wealth of the glory of God. And that God is great in every way that greatness is to be valued. Listen, that should be obvious to everyone. Your life and my life as a Christian, people ought to look at us and say, "They magnify God. They magnify God. They glorify. Their life is lived in such a way, I can see it. God is glorified in and through them. God is magnified in and through their life." The Apostle Paul, he says this in Romans 1, verse number 20: "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." It ought to be obvious, shouldn't it? It ought to be obvious in my life. It ought to be obvious in your life, if you're saved in here tonight, that the Lord is magnified. But I think we can all be honest with each other. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's just not. Why is that? Well, due to the sinful insensitivities and forgetfulness of our hearts. You know, many of God's greatest attributes and most awesome and loving deeds, they pass in one ear and just right out the other. They come and they go without even causing the slightest ripple of emotion in our heart, without even stirring us up. And we can sit in a service or we can be moved by some song or something when the Lord is speaking to us, maybe as you read the Word of God. And how many times does it just go in one ear and right out the other? It just comes and it goes. Seeing, we do not see. Hearing, we do not hear. When our hearts are in such a condition as this, we need to beg God like Paul did when he says, "The eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and that the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power." But we could even stop and say, even when God graciously removes the scales from our eyes so that we can be moved by his greatness, so that we can be moved by what he's doing, we are still prone to straightway forget what he's done for us. You've ever been there? Yeah. We're still prone to forget all that he has been to us. I mean, you've had experiences, when which you feel the goodness and the faithfulness of God so intensely. I mean, you've been praying for something or you've been wanting something to happen in your life, and then God blessed you or God made it happen, and you're like, "Yes, thank you, Lord." You begin to get excited. You begin to leap, and you're like, "How could I ever doubt you? How could I ever say that you wouldn't take care of me?" And you hug people, and the blessings are there. And how could I ever doubt after this? How could I ever again despair for your help, Lord? And you're all excited and pumped. And then some short time later, you find yourself doing just that, right? Getting discouraged, getting downhearted, feeling no confidence or goodness in the greatness of God. Why is that? Well, because we are so prone to forget the evidences of God's goodness, listen, which we ourselves have experienced, which we ourselves have already noticed. It's not like we see it in someone else's life, although we do, but we've experienced it in our own life. We've seen the joys. We've seen God take care of us. We've seen God bless us in so many ways, and we're like, "Yes, God, how could I ever despair?" And then some short time later, we get discouraged, and we're downhearted. Why? Because we forget about the goodness of God. Well, isn't that why David preaches to himself? You know, the Bible talks about him, that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Love reading about that, that David just got alone and he encouraged himself in the Lord. Well, as well in Psalm 103:1, here's what David, he preaches to himself and he says this: "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And so he's saying this: soul, don't forget what God has done for you. Soul, don't forget where you've come from. Don't forget what God has blessed you with in your life. Instead, do what Asaph did in Psalm 77:11. Remember the works of the Lord. Remember what God has done for you. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is great a God as our God? People who make the greatness of God seem as great as it really is, make it shine as great as it really is, as this telescope would do. That is what it means for a Christian to magnify God. To magnify in such a way. But listen, you can't magnify what you haven't seen. And you can't magnify what you've done already forget. It's already gone. No, therefore, our first task is to see and to remember the greatness and the goodness of God. So if you're in here today and you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, the first thing that you need to realize is your main goal right now is to magnify God. Everything that you do when you're alive, it ought to be to magnify God. You should have it written all over the place as a reminder, I ought to magnify God. And when it comes to a point in your life when you're not doing that, then you need to stop and say, open my eyes, Lord. Open my eyes. Peel back. Allow me to see you for who you are. You need to preach to your soul. Soul, let me not forget. Let me not forget who you are. Let me not forget the benefits of what God has done for you. Remember his works. That's what we ought to do. But suppose that we have seen and we do remember the greatness of God's power and his wisdom and his mercy. What sort of response now will magnify him? So now that we got the prerequisites out of the way, all the basics out of the way, I know I need to magnify God, and I need to remember what he's done. I need to glorify him in all of this way. So I know I have that. So you're in that category now, and you're moving on. Now, what is the response? What is the correct response in magnifying the Lord? What must the human telescope do in order to cause God to appear as great as he really is? Well, there's one word right there in our passage of Psalm 69:30, and we'll magnify him with, say it with me, thanksgiving. Simple word, thanksgiving. You know, when we give thanks to him from our hearts, guess what happens? God is magnified. God is glorified. God is pleased. Gratitude glorifies God. Well, why is that? Well, the answer is very simple. Givers are more glorious than receivers, right? We see benefactors are more glorious than beneficiaries. When we thank God, we acknowledge and display that he is the giver, that he is the benefactor. We pay him a great compliment. We give everything to him and realize, God, thank you for who you are. And we're magnifying him in that way. You know, I mentioned to you my boys here today. I have your fruit snacks in my pocket. You're doing good, guys. You're doing really good. They sat down the front row. We made them sit in the front row while we sing. I was a little nervous, to be honest with you, but they did a very good job. And the two boys, and they are all boy. I mean, just like, you, they're it, all right? So there's high maintenance, high strong, high energy. I mean, they want to hurt everything, punch, knock things over, everything, okay? So that's what we're dealing with here, all the mom's side. And so we can see, just joking, so we can see when Maverick and Bronson, when they're arguing or somebody takes something away from them and we're in a training process, and we're, no, you need to give that back. When you give it back, you need to say thank you, right? So you need to say thank you and you're welcome. Well, when one is mad at the other, guess what? He doesn't want to say thank you. Or the other doesn't want to say you're welcome. They don't want to communicate in that way. They don't want to pay each other a high compliment in that way. Maverick, you need to say thank you. Bronson, you need to say you're welcome. You're welcome, Maverick. They don't want to do that. It doesn't come in them in that way. Well, why is that? Well, because saying thank you is a compliment. It magnifies something. It magnifies someone. You did a good thing for me, right? I'm indebted to you. You've wrote many a thank you cards at a time, no doubt. And you're thanking someone for their gratefulness to you. They're giving to you. And you are paying them a compliment. You're indebted to them in just a small way. But when you're angry at somebody, you don't want to pay them a compliment. You don't want to give them anything that's going to make them feel better about themselves. No, you don't want to magnify them. You hate to think of them as your benefactor on a human level, horizontal level, with you and I as people. So therefore, when gratitude springs up in the human heart toward God, listen, he is magnified as the wealthy source of blessing. He is glorified. He is acknowledged as giver and benefactor and therefore as glorious. But when gratitude does not spring up in our hearts at God's great goodness to us, listen, it probably means something in our life. We got a heart issue going on. We got a heart issue going. We don't want to pay him a high compliment. We don't want to give him a compliment. We don't want to magnify him as our benefactor. And some say, what are you talking about? Well, there's a very good reason that human beings by nature do not want to magnify God with thanksgiving or glorify him as their benefactor. You say, why is that? Well, the reason is that it detracts from their own glory. It detracts from who they are, and all people by nature love their own glory more than the glory of others. My boys, when they do something, they want me to see it, and they want me to recognize it, and they want me to tell them, good job, right? Good job. And it makes them feel good. When you and I do something, you know what? You know what we want to hear? We want to hear people praise us, don't we? We want to hear people say, oh, that's good. They did well. Oh, thank good job. It does something to us. It does something within our soul. And so when we deflect the praise to God as humans, we want to receive that glory. We want that. But instead, as Christians, you know what our job is? To magnify God. And how do we do that? By thanking him in all things, by thanking him in everything. Psalm 35, 27, David says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And you know, he contrasts that group of people who love to magnify the Lord with another group of people in verse number 26 of Psalm 35. He says this, let them not say in their heart, so would we have it. Let them not say, we have swallowed them up. So here's what we have here this evening. We have two groups of people, only two. Two groups of people right here whose differences from each other are of eternal significance. Two groups of people in this world whose differences from each other are of eternal significance. Number one, those who magnify God and those who magnify themselves. And you know what? You're only in one of two categories tonight. Those who magnify God and those who magnify self. And at the root of all ingratitude is the love of one's own greatness. It's all about me. It's all about what I can do. And for genuine gratitude, it admits that we are beneficiaries of an unearned bequest. As one man put it this way, we are cripples leaning on the cross-shaped crutch of Jesus Christ. We are paralytics living minute by minute in the iron lung of God's mercy. We are children asleep in heaven's stroller. Now, natural man doesn't want to identify with any of those. The natural man doesn't want to think of himself of any of these images, unworthy beneficiary, a cripple, a child. For why? They rob him of all of his glory by giving it all to God. And so therefore, while a man loves his own glory and prizes his self-sufficiency and hates to think of himself as sin-sick and helpless, he will never feel any genuine gratitude to the true God, and therefore will never magnify God, but only himself. Never. But you know, there's an interesting connection here between our text of Psalm 69 and verse number 31, and also Psalm chapter number 50 and 51. Turn with me, if you would, quickly. If you would, go over to Psalm 50 and verse number 9. As you're turning there, Psalm 50 and verse number 9, verse number 31 of our text, I'm going to read this as you're turning there. The Bible says, this also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. Well, why is that? It's kind of an interesting phrase. Why would that be? Why does the offering of some expensive animal please God less than offering genuine thanks? Well, look, if you would, in Psalm 50 and verse number 9, all right? Psalm 50 and verse number 9, notice what the Bible says. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he-goats out of thy folds, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. Look it. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, For the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay the vows unto the Most High. You know, one of the reasons God was not pleased with the offering of an ox, or a bull, or a goat, was that the giver often thought that his gift was enriching God. Oh, I'm going to give God a gift, yeah. Something he needs, something that'll help him in his life, something that'll help him in his walk with the Lord. I'm going to give him something, and he's going to love it, supplying some deficiency in God. But look at what seems like an act of love among men, meeting someone's needs, that's an insult to God. God is insulted by that very thing. Why? Because every beast of the forest is his. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. You can't give me a bull. You can't give me an ox, for they are already mine. I own everything. And so that's what we see here. That is why magnifying him with thanksgiving, giving him the praise that he deserves, is better than some sacrifice of some animal. That's as goofy as me coming into your home and stepping in and noticing a picture on your wall over here and be going, oh, okay. My gift to you. You just took that off of my wall. I know. My gift to you. Don't you like it? Isn't it a beautiful gift? You just took that off my wall. I know, but it's my gift to you. See, that's weird. That's not natural. You don't go into someone's house, and if you do, you're weird. It's not normal to take something from someone else that they already own, put it in a bag, and put some tissue paper on it and a little bow, and give it to them as a gift. You can't do that. Why? Because they already own it. That would be an insult to them. That would not mean anything to them. And as silly and goofy as that is, that's just as goofy as you and I thinking, oh, I'm going to give to God today, and he's going to love it. I'm going to put in my offering, and don't you see how big this is? Yep, God is going to be pleased. He needs this offering today. He needs this, as if God needs your money. God doesn't need your money. He's doing quite all right without your money. He wants you to give, and we ought to give, praise the Lord. But listen, he doesn't need it. He wants us to give out of a heart, out of a love. It's like you and I saying, oh, well, I was in church today. Isn't everyone happy with me? Oh, God, I'm sure God's pleased because, I mean, I went to church twice this month. Isn't that awesome? Oh, wow. God has got to be so pleased. As if you can give anything to God. You can't give him anything. But listen, God is magnified when you and I offer him thanks. Offer him genuine, worthy thanks. Lord, as we looked at this morning, thank you for who you are. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be able to give to you today. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be able to get my car and come to a great church to be able to worship at and to praise you with all that I have in me. Lord, thank you for all that you are. You can see, as we looked at this, man's self-exaltation, even in the practice of religion, he finds a way to preserve his status as giver and self-sufficient benefactor. And in the very act of worship, he belittles God by refusing to assume the part of a receiver, an undeserving and helpless beneficiary of mercy. And as an antidote to this arrogance in worship, you know what God does? He prescribes the opposite. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanks. Acknowledge God as the giver and accept the lowly status of receiver. For that is what magnifies God. And that's what the last verse of Psalm 50:23, it says, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. And I'm sure you know the verses David said in Psalm 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. He's simply describing the only sort of heart from which the sacrifice of genuine thanksgiving can flow. So you got step one down and you realize, I need to magnify him. I need to do everything I can to magnify him in all of that way, to see him for who he is. And the only way that I can magnify him is to give him thanks, is to give him a thanks out of my heart. But listen, the only way that you can give him thanks out of your heart is if you look at verse number 32, the humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. You know, even though the words that we've looked at so far have been bad news for those intent on maintaining their pride and their love of themselves and their love for their own glory and their commitment to their own self-sufficiency, listen, that's bad news for everyone who wants to stay prideful. But these right here, they're great news for those who are ready to be humble, who are ready to follow the Lord and what he has to them. To those who have come to the end of their rope, who have fallen exhausted from pulling at their own bootstraps, this text right here is very good news. What are God's demands here? What does an all-sufficient God who owns and controls all things, what does he demand from the creature that he has made? Well, his demand is great, but it's not that we be great. No, it's that we cease to be great in our own eyes and become small so that he can appear great, so that he can be great. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. It's not the physician, it's not the well who need a physician, but it's the sick, right? It's the sick who need a physician. Jesus has nothing to do with those who insist, I got this. I mean, I can do what I want. I can serve however I want. I can do this and I can do this. I can do this all on my own. No, Jesus has nothing to do with those who insist that they don't need him. He demands something great that we admit that we're not great. That we admit, Lord, I need you. I can't do life without you. I can't wake up every day and be faithful to my wife, and be the dad that I need to be, and be the church member that I need to be, and be the worker and the employee that I need to be at my. I can't do all of this without realizing I need you. I need you. I need to be humble in my life today. This is bad news to the arrogant, but words of honey to the humble who have given up their charade of self-sufficiency and are seeking God, or at the spot where he wants them. And for by such he will be found, and he will pour into their empty hearts such a love as they have never known, and there will arise freely and joyfully a sense of gratitude. Listen, so genuine that it will be visible that God will be greatly magnified as the merciful giver of everything we have and everything we are. And so that's why I want to encourage you all tonight, as the Bible says in 1 Peter 5, be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time. If you walked into these doors thinking that you got life all on your own, that you don't need God, that you can go on with whatever you need, you have all of these burdens and all of these weights on you, and God says, I want you to give those to me. I want you to lay those upon me. I don't want you to live life like this. I want you to be humble, to go low in every situation. And listen, when you do, you'll realize you can't give me anything but genuine thanks. And when you give me genuine thanks, that is when you're magnifying me. That is when you're glorifying me. And we live in a society that knows nothing about magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ. You can go in churches all around that think they're worshiping the Lord, that think they're magnifying God, and they don't know anything about it because they're not humble. And they're trying to give him something. And he says, I don't want anything. I want your thanks. I want your genuine thanks in your life. Psalm 34:3, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Would you say that together with me? Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Say it again now. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Psalm 69:30, I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. Psalm 103:1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Friend, when was the last time that you offered genuine thanks to God? Let me put it this way. When was the last time that you really, truly magnified God? Because you can't magnify him with a prideful heart. You can't magnify him with an arrogant spirit. And we need to realize today that if we're to be the Christians that he wants us to be, he wants us to magnify him. He wants us to lift up his name. So let's get our life in order and get in the right spot so that we can walk around this place and we can walk around all over we go and people will look at us and say, they magnify God. People, oh, see them over there, they're magnifying God. And it would just be this glow about you because your life is lived in such a way that people know they magnify God.